News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and yep, just plain right. Hey, listen, before we even get into number one of the Triple Dipper, it did not happen yesterday because I was not here. We held off a day, but every week we do this thing called the Cyber Minute. One of our sponsors, Bellwether Technologies, has just, rather than doing a regular ad, they once a week have this thing called the Cyber Minute where they kind of break it all down in ways that like non-tech people like me can understand. So Copper, without further ado, Cyber Minute number 7, go ahead and hit it.
The Cyber Minute.
Welcome to the Cyber Minute, brought to you by Bellwether Technology, www.bellwethertechnology.com. Today's Cyber Minute, what is malware? Malware, the word, is a contraction of the words malicious and software, thus malware. In practice, malware is any software created for the specific purpose of causing disruption of users and systems. So what kinds of malware are there? Quite a few, actually. The most common are viruses, worms, trojans, spyware, adware, and the ever-popular ransomware. Ransomware gets a lot of press because it's so visible. Viruses tend to operate in secret. Ransomware is more like a cyber club to the head. Some ransomware just blocks login access and can be easily bypassed and repaired. Others are very sophisticated and can actually encrypt your hard drive so that you can't access anything on it unless you pay the hackers a ransom in return for the decryption key. So how big a problem is ransomware? In 2020, ransomware attacks in the U.S. healthcare sector alone cost over $20 billion in lost revenue, paid ransoms, and legal fees. In 2021, the largest ransomware payout ever was made in the insurance sector at $40 million. It's a multi-billion dollar darknet industry, and anyone can get hit with it. The best way to prevent ransomware are to only install software from known good sources, only download attachments from email that you can verify, and because ransomware can actually be installed simply by viewing an infected image file, you need to always run an active antivirus and web surfing protection software. It's also very important to back up your critical data so you have a way to recover if you lose the infected system. Antivirus doesn't stop everything because technology changes very rapidly. So be prepared and don't make the hacker's job easy. The Cyber Minute aims to take geek speak in the cyber world and translate them into topics that non-technical people can enjoy and learn from. Check us out and download each episode from our website at www.thecyberminute.org. This has been your Cyber Minute. I'm your host, Chris Williams. I'll see you next time.
Oh, there you go. Malware. I mean, God, who just sits around? I mean, if they put a little effort into doing things legally, you know, Copper, I mean, do people just, they sit in mom's basement, some of these people, and just in their pajamas, and they just screw people's computers up. It just boggles my mind.
It's terrible.
Well, it is terrible, but it's real. It's part of where we're at. It's the, you know, it can be as simple as the technical equivalent of, I guess, keying somebody's car to robbing a bank is what it boils down to. Well, all right. Listen, that's your Cyber Minute for the week. Moving now to number one on the Triple Dipper. Where is COVID? All right. So have you noticed we haven't been hearing much about it? Well, unless you're in an airport like I was, you know, you heard my monologue earlier. Apparently, the only contagious place in the world right now is an airport or on the plane. I mean, as soon as you walk in the door, apparently contagion fills the air, so you have to slap that mask on your face. And at one point, Charlene and I were walking through one of the terminals going to the next gate that we were being shucked off to, and I could smell the food coming from one, and we were hungry, and I said, boy, this food smells good. And I looked at her and said, which is proof positive, this mask is not working. Because if you could smell that easily, you know, then obviously this mask means nothing. But listen, I'm looking at a story right here off of WDHN down in Dothan, all right? Right here in the state of Alabama. Just a couple of days ago, I said it was today, but actually it was Sunday. Sunday marked the 2-year anniversary of when the first COVID case was diagnosed in Alabama. Well, there's a landmark we don't necessarily have to set up like a celebration or a state holiday for. But there it is. 2 years from the day was Sunday, the 13th. Lucky 13, apparently. For Alabamians, March 13th, according to WDHN, was the day that changed just about everything. Yes, it was. 1.288 million Alabamians apparently have been documented as having COVID-19. And it does say 18,832 have lost their lives due to the coronavirus. When you only have 67 counties, 18,000 deaths, you can do the math. You can imagine that pretty much everybody knows somebody who at least knows somebody who, you know, died from it. And now, the thing that's frustrating is we found that the reporting across the board was not always accurate. There were times, I know it's true, there were times when people would pass away and they did not die from COVID, but they were done a post-mortem and determined that the heart attack they had came while they had COVID, and so it was said that COVID was, you know what I'm saying? But then again, I don't want to minimize this because there were a lot of people that were very seriously adversely affected. I have one friend who just recently got back to life after 8 months with two near-death experiences, lost her hair. I mean, she had probably one of the worst cases I have heard of and still came out. They actually brought the family in to see her twice. All that to say, we're past that point for the most part as a society. Now, there's still things happening, like story right here from thehill.com. Barack Obama tested positive for COVID-19. I know all of y'all just stopped in your tracks. Say it's not so. Yes, it is. Former President Barack Obama shared on Sunday that he had tested positive for COVID-19 after experiencing some symptoms for a couple of days. In his words, "I just tested positive for COVID. I've had a scratchy throat for a couple of days, but I'm feeling fine otherwise." Then he goes on to say, "Michelle and I are grateful to be vaccinated and boosted, and she has tested negative. It's a reminder to get vaccinated if you haven't already." Every opportunity, I guess. But then it goes on to say, and I found this to be interesting, like why this was necessary. A representative for the Obamas told The Hill that the couple follows all local and state and federal protocols without providing further details. Yeah, okay, here's my further details. Did you see the pictures of his birthday bash? The ones on Martha's Vineyard where they didn't think anybody had cameras in the tent, but a few of them got out and they were dancing without masks at a time when everybody was being told that if you're not masked and vaccinated, you are part of the reason why people are dying. Or how about the time, too, most recently when President Obama was seen at his mansion standing outside where workers were building a wall and he's the only one not wearing a mask. All the workers were wearing masks. Yeah. Anyway, that being said, yeah, it's gotten a little slim on the news, hasn't it? Now, granted, Ukraine, the war in Ukraine is legit, and it's a reason to have, you know, lots of coverage. And then you've got high gas prices and hyperinflation. That's a reason to have lots of news coverage. And then there's this whole situation we got going on with supply chain and what's happening, you know, in Congress with, you know, legislation passing or not passing. And then there's stuff happening in your own state. All that to say, yes, there's other news. But for the last 2 years, we were not allowed to have other news. And so I've got a story here. This is another Alabama localized news story from WBHM. WBHM, which is out of Birmingham. Exhaustion and nervousness, it says, after 2 years of COVID in Alabama. Well, I'm not nervous. I don't know about y'all. I don't think COVID's gone. It's not gone. Apparently President Obama's got it. But the reality is this. I'm not going to live in fear. Done with it. Do I want it again? No. Charlene and I both had it. It sucked. But the reality is I'm not going to sit around and wring my hands. And I know this audience, y'all aren't either. And I know there's some folks that are still concerned and they're just, oh gosh, I don't want to get it. You know what? I'll never forget this. And it brought a great deal of relief to me. When I first got to Afghanistan, I was just nervous as a cat about getting sick. I didn't want to get sick. Because I was on a remote team. We were out in the middle of nowhere. There was no medic. There was no field hospital. There was no nothing. You got sick, you're just sick. Well, we were backfilling one of the teams that had come in the initial invasion. And they're packing up to leave out. And one of the guys was trying to tell us stuff basically while he's packing, throwing his stuff in a duffel bag in a team box. And he stopped in the middle and goes, "Oh, by the way, you're going to get sick. Just go ahead and accept it. You're just going to get sick and you'll get over it." I don't know why, but when he said that, it gave me a great deal of relief. Like all of a sudden I went, yeah. And by the way, I did get sick. I had dysentery like 5 times. I lost 30 pounds while I was there. I don't think I've ever thrown up so much in my entire life. But I was through being fearful of it. I just got it, did what I could to get over it, got over it, went back to the war. So this thing about exhaustion and nervousness after 2 years of COVID, Well, the press wants you to be nervous because they live off that. That creates their news cycles. I'm just telling you, folks, we are going to be fine, all right? But 2 years ago marked the beginning of COVID in Alabama. And this interview right here from WBHM is with Jefferson County Health Officer Dr. Mark Wilson. By the way, if you didn't know this, here's a point of interest for you. Mark Harris is a state health officer. He is not accountable to the governor at all. He is not appointed by the governor at all. He does not have to answer to anyone at all. He is the one who issued all of the close your businesses and wear your masks and other protocols and executive orders came from his proclamations. However, unbeknownst to anybody, and I spent 8 years in Montgomery, unbeknownst to anybody, apparently Jefferson County has their own health officer who can make his own rules because at some point they passed legislation in the past thinking it was a great idea, I don't know why, to let Jefferson County have a separate health officer who did not have to answer to the state health officer who also doesn't have to answer to the governor. So yeah, this interview is with that guy. And they go on to ask him things like, where do you think we are right now? And the first thing out of his mouth, I'm glad to hear it, he says, we're in a really good place. We got lots of hospital capacity, lots of treatments available. By the way, the treatments have been available the entire time. With the exception of the vaccine, the vast majority of the treatments that are available, many of which are treatments that were maligned because they did not fit the narrative at first. Things like ivermectin and other means of curative and palliative care. Come on, people. Anyway, they ask him, how do you plan? How do you think about that? What do you do with all that nervousness? Okay, nervousness again. They say, well, you know, we can't predict the future. And people that have not been vaccinated, they should go ahead and get on that. And let's try to be prepared for possible other variants. Well, we're going to talk after the top of the hour news. We're going to talk with my friend, Colonel Jim Hawkins, retired colonel now. But Jim and I served together. He's a great guy. And Jim was in charge of the state of Alabama's National Guard Domestic Operations Group. Basically, they were the guys who were there to handle any and all emergency declarations which involved National Guard activities. And not only that, but then they would often become the lead agency alongside of FEMA. Jim has more experience in running the TOC, or which is the Tactical Operations Center, for an emergency situation than anybody I know. He was brought in as a civilian after retirement to handle interagency coordinations for the state of Alabama. And it did not go very smoothly because many people did not want to answer to anybody. They all had their own turf wars, and the lessons learned are being lost quickly because despite the fact that this interview with Dr. The health officer, Dr. Mark Wilson from Jefferson County, lessons learned. There were lessons, but many of them aren't being learned. All right, Copper, move us to a break. We'll go ahead and take this thing. We'll come back. Keep working through number one of the triple dipper a little bit. Where is COVID? It appears to be kind of on the wayside right now because not politically expedient. I'll tell you about that when we get back. There's even a memo about it. Oh, yeah. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys hang on. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Moving right now along with still a number one of the Triple Dipper, where's COVID? Where is COVID? I mean, good Lord, it's all we were allowed to talk about for the last 2 years. And granted, there's other news. And granted, I will say this. I say the last 2 years. I mean, truthfully, there became a time when it became a part of the news, but it was not the every moment of the news. You know, CNN finally took down their death counter. But I tell you what's really happened. Very noticeable. First of all, I've been saying for months, the administration would be wise to stop trotting out Fauci. Stop trotting that guy out in front of the camera and pretending that he doesn't make things worse every time he speaks. Because it got to the point that it was like fingernails on a chalkboard to the vast majority of Americans to hear that guy get on the air once again and, you know, just do his thing. I mean, at some point, why didn't someone with a communications degree say, he's not helping? Well, apparently they figured it out because Fauci is nowhere to be seen right now, unless if you dig real deep, you can actually find that he's doing some really weird appearances as if he can't stop trying to get out there. He is now doing these like weird, you know, tier Z kind of podcasts. And like, he, I don't even want to name the name of this one because it's a foul name, woke as something. I mean, he did a local DC TV, local TV channel. He's done a YouTube video on some kind of YouTube comedy show with no comedy was involved, just him talking about COVID. It's just weird. All right, but listen, here's the other thing. A memo was found recently. This is dated just about 10 days ago. About 2 weeks ago, actually. And this internal memo was commissioned by the Democrat Party to provide advice on how to deal with COVID policies. Yeah, okay. A group called Impact Research. Impact Research did some studies and got paid a lot of money, I'm sure, to advise the Democrat Party to stop talking about COVID. All right, here's the actual, I've got a copy of the memo in my hands. It was dated February 24th. I'm not sure when the news broke about it, somewhere around, I don't know, the 26th, 27th or thereabouts. But yeah, so it literally, from Impact Research, it literally says, here among things, first of all, we should declare, this is talking to Democrats, we should declare the crisis phase of COVID over and push for feeling and acting more normal. Okay. Number two, we should recognize that people are worn out and feeling harm from the years-long restrictions and take their side. Begin to take their side. Oh, you mean don't say that it's the pandemic of the unvaccinated. Yeah, that's not helping, Mr. President. Okay, even your communications folks are telling you this. Then they go on. Here's another piece of advice. Acknowledge that COVID still exists and likely will for a long time. Here's the kicker. We are not advising that Democrats talk like Republicans that have largely ignored the pandemic, even pre-vaccine. Declaring a return to the new normalcy does not mean ignoring that people will continue to get it and that we shouldn't be responsible or that we should turn our backs on the medical community as treating the sick and developing therapeutics that will save lives. Okay, first of all, new normal, don't use that term. We don't want new normal. I don't want somebody's definition of what new normal is. I refuse to accept new normal. Phil's looking for normal. Just normal. You know what? Normal included the fact that we had flu season. Normal included the fact that we had allergy seasons. Normal included the fact that we had other sicknesses, some of which were very serious. Normal. Normal means life goes on. And we don't sit around wringing our hands and worried about it. But yeah, the CDC apparently actually discovered public health just in time. They got a memo, and this memo is not about epidemiology. It's about politics. Listen, we're coming back here in a minute with my friend Colonel Jim Hawkins, talking about some things like, you know, what lessons were learned and were they learned? All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.